From Heaven with Love. Chapter 57. The rich young ruler lacked one thing. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This young man, a ruler, had great possessions and a position of responsibility. He saw the love Christ manifested toward the children, and his heart kindled with love for the Savior. He was so deeply moved that he ran after Christ and, kneeling at his feet, asked with sincerity and earnestness the question so important to his soul and to every human being. Why callest thou me good? Said Christ, There is none good but one, that is, God. Jesus desired to draw from him the way in which he regarded him as good. Did he realize that the one to whom he was speaking was the Son of God? What was the true sentiment of his heart? This ruler had a high estimate of his own righteousness, yet he felt the want of something he did not possess. Could Jesus bless him and satisfy his soul want? In reply, Jesus told him that obedience to the commandments of God was necessary if he would obtain eternal life. The ruler's answer was positive, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Christ looked into the face of the young man, as if reading his life and searching his character. He loved him and hungered to give him peace and joy. One thing thou lackest, go sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Christ was drawn to this young man. The Redeemer longed to create in him that discernment to see the necessity of heart devotion. He longed to see in him a humble and contrite heart, hiding its lack in the perfection of Christ. Jesus saw in this ruler just the help he needed in the work of salvation. If he would place himself under Christ's guidance, he would be a power for good. Christ, seeing into his character, loved him. Love for Christ was awakening in the ruler's heart, for love begets love. Jesus longed to see him a co-worker with him. He longed to develop the excellence of his character, and sanctify it to the Master's use. If the ruler had then given himself to Christ, how different would have been his future. One thing thou lackest, Jesus said. Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Christ read the ruler's heart. Only one thing he lacked, but that was a vital principle. He needed the love of God in the soul. This lack, unless supplied, would prove fatal. His whole nature would become corrupted. That he might receive the love of God, his supreme love of self must be surrendered. Christ called upon him to choose between heavenly treasure and worldly greatness. Self must yield. His will must be given into Christ's control. The young ruler had the privilege of becoming a co-heir with Christ to the heavenly treasure. But he must take up the cross and follow the Savior in the path of self-denial. The choice was left with him. Jesus had shown him the plague spot in his character. If he decided to follow Christ, he must turn from his ambitious projects. With earnest, anxious longing, the Savior looked at the young man, hoping he would yield to the invitation of the Spirit of God. Christ's words were words of wisdom, though they appeared severe. In accepting and obeying them was the ruler's only hope of salvation. His position and possessions were exerting a subtle influence for evil on his character. If cherished, they would supplant God in his affections. Did Jesus demand too much? The ruler, quick to discern all that Christ's words involved, became sad. He was a member of the honored council of the Jews, and Satan was tempting him with flattering prospects of the future. He wanted the heavenly treasure, but he wanted also the advantages his riches would bring. He desired eternal life, but the sacrifice seemed too great. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His claim that he had kept the law of God was a deception. He showed that riches were his idol. He loved the gifts of God more than he loved the giver. Christ had offered the young man fellowship with himself. Follow me, he said. But the Savior was not so much to him as his own name among men or his possessions. To give up the seen for the unseen was too great a risk. He refused the offer of eternal life, and went away. Ever after, the world was to receive his worship. Thousands passed through this ordeal, weighing Christ against the world. And many choose the world. Christ's dealing with the young man is presented as an object lesson. God has given us the rule of conduct which his servants must follow. It is obedience to his law, not merely a legal obedience, but an obedience which enters into the life and is exemplified in the character. Only those who will say, "Lord, all I have and all I am is thine," will be acknowledged as sons and daughters of God. Think of what it means to say no to Christ. The Savior offers to share with us the work God has given us to do. Only in this way can he save us. God entrusts men with means, talents, and opportunities, that they may be his agents in helping the poor and the suffering. He who uses his entrusted gifts as God designs becomes a co-worker with the Savior. To those who, like the young ruler, are in high positions and have great possessions, it may seem too great a sacrifice to give up all in order to follow Christ. But nothing short of obedience can be accepted. Self-surrender is the substance of the teachings of Christ. There is no other way to save man than to cut away those things which, if entertained, will demoralize the whole being. When Christ's followers give back to the Lord his own, they are accumulating treasure which will be given to them when they hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The joy of seeing souls eternally saved is the reward of all who put their feet in the footprints of him who said, "Follow me."